Ay, Kikino.
Thank you.
Aloha kakahiakakako, aloha. Puli in the Tongan and in Hawaiian, sending the blessings to our families down south. Te puri tātou. Se o alofa malia e te tumu i le kalasia. Ia te olele ali ua manuia o e whawhine uma. Ma ua manuia o Iesu le fua. Olo alo sangata male o le tino o le atua. Ia e talo sia i ma tō tangata gasala. E ona pō nei ma le utu. Ma le itu aso e lo ma tō oti. Ka malamalama o te atua e hoopuni mai a kākou. Ke aloha o ke akua e ki puna mai a kako. Ke mana o ke akua e ho opakele mai a kako. Ke alo o ke akua e malama mai a kako e ma tahi a kako. E le aku ai, he aku anō. Mea nehe nehe te natura maruru te atua no te nāhere. A mama o anō. Amene.
Mahalo, Uncle. Welcome, everybody, to our February 17, 2022 Hawaii Island Burial Council meeting. Our chair isn't here today. I'm the vice chair, Kalena Blakemore, so I'll be facilitating our meeting today. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And I think we shall just go ahead with our roll call and open up to go ahead. We start with Kapono. Mahalo.
Clifford Kapono, Hilo.
Scott Mahoney, Kau.
Waiola Higa, Hamakua.
Ako Des, Kingdom of Hawaii. Kau.
Aku rather large landowner.
I like that one.
Maybe that's just me left. Then Kalena Blakemore representing Puna. And let's hear from our Ship D staff and then maybe any guests that we have just to announce your name. Thank you.
Keo Kelpito, Burial Site Specialist.
Christian Omar, Burial Site Specialist.
Nicole Louie.
Hi, Linda Child, Deputy Attorney General.
There you go, Glenn.
Yep, Glenn Escott, SCS, Hawaii Island archaeologist.
Okay, well, we have a few more people out there, but they're either shy or are not able to unmute.
Can you hear me? This is Jack Kelly.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I'm here for Jim Medeiros at the moment. He's trying to get on.
Okay, thank you, okay. Jack.
Aloha, Stephanie Brown from the island of Kauai. I am a lineal descendant of Chiefess Kaue and John Isaac Davis II.
Mahalo, Stephanie.
Aloha, Angela Neller calling from the mainland.
Hi, Angela. Good to
see
you.
Everyone.
Miley?
Hi, my name is Miley Albert. I'm a descendant of Tutu Lady Kamahele.
Richard Ha from Hilo, and our family is Kamahele.
Mahalo, everyone, and welcome today. Thank you. Our first item is to approve our minutes Item A, approval of minutes for October 14th, 2021. Do we have any comments or discussion for that? Go ahead, Uncle Des.
I move to accept.
So we have a motion on the floor to accept our October minutes of 2021. A second?
Second, Scott.
Second by Scott Mahoney. Any discussion? Okay, let's call for the vote. All those in favor of approving and passing the minutes of October 2021, say aye.
Aye.
And hold your hand up. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Any who abstain? Mahalo. The motion passes to approve our October 2021 minutes. Next, item B on our, is to approve our minutes from January 20th, 2022. Again, same question, if there's any discussion, comments.
I move you accept the minutes for January 20th.
We have a motion from Scott to accept the minutes from January. Any seconds? Uncle Des?
I second. Uncle Des. Homia.
Any discussion? Let's call for the vote then to approve the minutes for January, October 2022. All those in favor, please say aye or hold your hand.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say nay. Anyone abstaining? The motion passes. Thank you. Next item, business, a discussion on Hawaii Island Burial Council membership roles and responsibilities. Discussion on the above item, which we just passed on our minutes. Anyone have something they'd like to add? Go ahead. Everybody goes first. Anybody have any comments or thoughts they want to add to that? No? Okay. I just wanted to say I reviewed the minutes of January, and I really appreciated the additions, the little summary notes. It made it easier for me to recap what was happening in each item. So thank you, Kea, for making those changes, and hopefully that meets with people's approval. So it sounds like maybe that is the case, since we don't have too much discussion on that. Appreciate that, you guys. Okay. Does anybody?
So, sorry, Glenna, we're on 4A, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So the governor's emergency proclamation may or may not be ending next month. And part of the new OIP rules is that once the proclamation does end, all virtual meetings are going to have a physical location. And so, when it ends, we don't know if he's going to extend or not, but when it does end, I need to reach out to our regular meeting locations, it could be Dofa and Hilo and the Civic Center in Kona, to see, if I can start using those facilities. And I believe you guys are welcome to come to the physical location or continue to Zoom in from home. I also need to find out a way of how we're gonna do it technologically. I don't know if I'm just gonna bring my laptop, turn on the Zoom at the physical location, and be able to capture it all, or I think we still need to look at that, those options for SHPD, but that is what this is. Norman, I'm gonna put you on mute, okay? That's what we can anticipate in the near future. Again, that's only if the governor doesn't extend the emergency proclamation, and we would need to return back, or we would need to adjust to whatever the legislature passed for the new OIP. Just wanted to give everybody that heads up.
Great. Thanks for that update. All right. Well, I think we can move on to business number four, item B, draft burial treatment plan for burial site number 50-10-45-18987, located in Makuʻuahu Poʻapuna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK31-5-010:009. We have a couple of items to take on here. It's discussion and determination on whether to preserve in place or relocate human skeletal remains at the above location. And then number two, recommendation to the State Historic Preservation Division, whether to accept or not accept the above draft burial treatment plan. So I think we will hear from Glenn now.
Okay. Hi, everyone. It's been a long time. I haven't seen you guys. Hope everyone's doing well. So we have a draft burial treatment plan that we put together for burial site 18987. This is in Makuʻu, and it's on Gold Government Beach Road, and it's right on the coast. It's a little under, well, it's about 13.43 acres of land. And this land has been owned for a while, was owned for a long time in the 50s and 60s and before that too, by the Kamehale and Kamoi families. And so we did the archaeological inventory survey for this property, and we did the background information, title search, and that kind of work as well. So basically the property is the southeast portion of land grant 1014 that was originally made to Kea. And Nicole Louis is here today, and she's descended from Kea. So it was really nice. She was able to provide some information and documents on that. And then later in time, the property was sold to the Kamoi family and the Kamaheles. And we were also very fortunate because there were a lot of people, including Richard Ha, who is here today, who are family members and remember going out to Sonny. His name is Ulrich, so Uncle Sonny Kamehale. And Richard was kind enough to provide a lot of written information from his blog, and also just through us talking on the property. So there were a good number of folks who came out and talked about what it was like back in the day when Uncle Sonny was there. So the burial site itself, we're not exactly sure how far back that goes. Originally, Ewart and Luscombe were out in that area, and they did a survey, I think it was 74, and they interviewed, or they spoke to Sonny because he was out there working on his farm. And he said that he was aware that the burial, the graves were there, that some of his family members were there, and it might be there might be folks from who lived there prior to that. And also in conversations recently when we spoke on property, Sonny's family, his family said that, yeah, they think that there's a Kamoi who's definitely buried there, maybe a son as well, so a mother and a son. So that's what we know about the property. As far as the archaeological survey, there was the property boundary wall, which we newly recorded, another small wall that's down by the coast itself. And then the other sites were previously documented. Two of them had kind of gone away because, Uncle Sonny, while he was farming, things kind of, he cleared some of the land. And the house was actually, I think, eligible for listing on the Hawaii Register of Historic Places, but it burned down in 2014 during Hurricane Isel. So, and I think Richard, you remembered that there wasn't a cement foundation originally, so kind of like a bare earth floor, but with boards on top of that and large stones that held up the posts for the building. So at some point, the building was was, improved. So someone poured a foundation and did some work on the house, but the house is gone now. So the foundation is there, the burial is right there. And then there's another site that's right along the coast. It's a garden site. So agricultural rock clearing mounds and looks like garden walls. And that's right behind where the storm surge has thrown up a lot of rocks. So that gives you an idea. I mean, if you look at the figures that I have that show the aerial photos, I kind of drew out where the vegetation is. So right along the Mackay side, it's the coastal flats. There's coconut grove in there, a lot of coconuts. The soil down that side is actually pretty thin. So the coconuts are about what grows there. There's a couple of false kamani trees, and there was a lot of hala in there, some of the larger coastal naupaka, you know, not the bush, but the tree. And then there's a literal, it was a cinder cone, a red cinder cone, where the burial is. So the burial plot actually sits almost at the top of this slow cinder cone. When you're standing on the property, you don't see it as a cinder cone, but it is. So that area near where the burial is and the house, I would say half of the property maybe, or a good portion of it, has this red cinder, which made it really nice for farming. And it's right now, it's mostly mown grass. There were animals that were grazing on it for a while. And so if we go to the preservation treatments, I put some figures in there that shows the location of the burial and the buffers. But what we're talking about is, we talked about a 20-foot preservation buffer and a 10-foot no-build easement that goes on beyond that. And then, so any work within 30 feet, we definitely want to see the orange fence go up so that there's no way that anybody can back into that or impact that in any way. And we talked a little bit about the signage, but it's private property. There's a wall all the way around it and a gate. And the folks who bought the property and the folks who are on property, who are friends with the owner, they know that that's a burial. So we thought everybody's aware that the burial's there. It's obvious. So it's probably not necessary to put up a sign. But, you know, it's possible to do native plantings if people think that's a good idea. But of course, you know, the property owner is going to be responsible for the maintenance. If descendants want to come and participate in that or put in flowers or any kind of plants, that's okay too. And then of course, we've got to register all this with the Bureau of Conveyances. And then of course we want to make sure the details of the preservation, all the preservation measures are, become a matter of record with the parcel title itself, and that goes on in perpetuity. So any future owners will know that. The other thing is, you know, we want to make sure that there's a letter that goes out to SHPD. Okay, prior to the property owner conducting any work on that property, we want to make sure that the preservation measure is up. So we'd want to see a letter that documents that. So photos and says, hey, okay. The preservation buffer fencing is up before any work gets done. And that's pretty much what I have for a presentation right now. Does anyone have any questions? I mean, Richard Ha is here too. So there are folks who are,
I've got a question,
and it'd be good to hear from them. Yeah. Yes. Good.
So I appreciate your work on your proposal for the burial plan. It's probably one of the best I've ever read. But I think there's a necessity that you include an audit provision to make sure that compliance is met.
Okay.
One thing to write a plan, the other is to enforce it and to make sure that it's done by both parties agreeing on a contract law.
Right.
So if you could, again, excellent.
Thank you, excellent
paper and report. But if you could just include an audit provision, as to is that done quarterly, annually, semi-annually, to make sure Absolutely. That everyone is in compliance. I would really appreciate that.
I will do that.
That would
for
set
sure.
precedent for other people coming before the council with their burial plan. Again, thank you so much for a very professional plan.
Thank you.
I wonder, we have some descendants here, if they'd like to share Mana'o on the BTP. I'll just leave it open for you to pop in if you want to.
Glenn, Diane Kramer, sorry. Any updates from DLNR side of it?
No. I know that, Jordan Kea Kalpita, who's here, he reviewed the burial treatment plan, the draft burial treatment plan, before it was sent to burial council. So, today's a good day to get comments and suggestions and recommendations, And then we can include those to the final plan. So we make sure we get everything.
Richard, Paul?
I can just mention what I remember. We knew the grave site was there. All the family knew it was there, and so just like in regular burial sites, you have respect. And everything for that. So what I remember of Uncle Sonny's house was that it was very close to the burial. I mean, like 20 feet, real close.
Yeah.
So it was just something everybody lived with. But basically, the family mainly went there to go down the beach, go fishing, and do those kinds of things. But, from the burial, from the report that Glenn made, it looks like there's a provision to so many feet around the grave site cannot be disturbed during construction. And then even a wider, maybe 30 feet around, that you cannot build anything. So from a descendant looking at that, we feel... at least I can speak for myself. I feel like because it's private property, not like in Kona, where somebody can step all over it because they don't know. All the people that go there will know because we're all descendants. Yeah. So and everybody knows that. And from what I see, it's been taken care of, been cleared around, and that's what I can say. And it looks appropriate to me. And we know that there's going to be a house built, but it's not going to be as close to the burial site as Uncle Sonny's house was. Now, me personally, maybe I would set up my house, if I were to build there, away. Because, I think this guy that's going to build actually feels comfortable, within his own heart to be close to a burial site. Me, I might get nightmares. That's only me. And it looks like on the map that there's going to be a way to come in, and there's every day is going to be open to basically family members, And you can come in, have a place to park, walk up to, and then back to your car. So the family will have access from what I can see.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Hall. Are there any other family members that wanted to comment?
Galena. Nicole.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi. Again, hi. I like that this burial treatment plan is very good, and thank you. And of course, my family owned it long time ago, Kea and Kahuvalu, but that was long time ago. We don't know anything about the more recent history of the property. So I'm so grateful that Uncle Richard spoke and shared his mana'o. The one thing I have concern though is make sure that the access gets into the property title. Can you talk to?
Yes.
Because a lot of times the people sell and then they don't know about access for descendants, yeah. Or the person die and we can't get in contact anymore with the landowner. So I would really want that put into the property title. And if you can talk to the landowner now and make sure that that gets done, and then access can be given to the descendants for a long time, not only for now. Yeah. Okay, that's my only. Yeah, that's my only mana. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. Are there any other questions or comments from either our council or the descendants?
Aloha, this is Mylene. I can only tell you about my experience. I was not born on the Big Island, but I feel a strong connection to my family. And I'm proud to say that I try to teach our Tikis the history and our lineage, and I've brought many of my nieces and nephews there to Makuu to pay homage to our kapuna, to show them how important it is. And I just thank everybody and thank you, Glenn, for that very detailed packet of information. But my sister is on the line as well. I brought her children and I will bring her grandchildren there. And it's such a sacred place for us. I'm a Labasan family member, and one Labasan still holds a lot on that land area. So we go there, and then we would also like to have the place. We park in a little area. I don't know. It's a little parking lot area where it has the Kamehale Farm sign.
Mm-hmm.
But we always wanted to go in and see the graves. I've known about the graves, but I didn't feel comfortable not having permission to go over there when we visited. We try to visit every year. But it's just a very, very, very sacred place for our family, especially for us on the mainland. That's our connection.
Yeah.
Our family. And it is so super important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Diane Kramer here. Thank you, Glenn, for that detailed report. I read the whole thing and I really like it. My main concern is just preservation of the area. What I do know is the eldest granddaughter of Frank and Marianne Kamehale, what she mentioned to me, she lives on the mainland. Unfortunately, her husband just passed away, so she is not able to attend this meeting. Mentioned that Frank's parents are one of them that's buried there along with Eldert. Child, but as far as who the child was, not sure. Unlike Miley, who lived in the mainland, I was more or less raised down in that area. So preservation is very important to me, to make sure that the family can go down when they can, of course, with permission from the landowner. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Matt, any permanent buffers going up on that site?
No, Jimmy, nothing permanent because it's lawn, it's all open, but there's a rock wall that goes around the whole property and a gate. And so there's nobody really coming onto the property. And it's just obvious what it is. You know, you cannot stand next to it without going, uh-oh, that's a burial. So
Yeah. So we weren't planning on doing that. We thought maybe it could put plants along the permanent buffer. Yeah. But that's kind of up to the family. If the family likes to, they think it's something, then yeah, can.
I just asked that question because once that land gets sold, different owners.
Yeah, you're right.
Right on that grave, right on the site. I mean, who's going to defend the family at that point? This is the point where if there's going to be a permanent buffer for protect those graves, it should come out at this time because, like I said, in the future,
right,
the landowner changes. Every rule changes. No protection. You can put the house 10 feet to that grave and you're stuck. Right.
Yeah.
Throw that out there for the family.
Yeah. Can we do that?
You know what I can do is... What I can do, Jimmy, is write it right in there that if the land use on that land changes, or if the new owners plan to, you know, build more houses or develop it, or the density or more pedestrian access, then it's got to go back and be reviewed by Borough Council. I can put that.
No. Okay. This is why we want the mitigation plan.
Right.
And an audit for compliance.
Oh, right. So
it doesn't matter who buys the property, whatever that deal is.
Right.
And here's the thing, and AG can confirm this. The council is led to believe that you're going to put in an audit provision. We're led to believe. Yes. If that doesn't happen, and the value of this whole conversation exceeds $750 by Hawaii revised statute, it becomes criminal fraud.
Right.
And somebody goes to jail.
Yeah.
Now, whoever authored or wrote that plan, leading us to believe,
if I give you my word,
locked up.
You know, if I give you my word.
No. Here. Yeah, we're led to believe. The council is led to believe a certain thing. Yeah. We're here by statute. It's just a matter of law. And AG can confirm this. That's why they're here. Right. So any offer made cannot be frivolous.
Right.
It's got to be sincere.
Yep.
So you agreed to put in an audit provision into this. Yep. So we're voting on the assumption that we are going to have that. That secures the interest of everyone else to make sure that whoever buys this property, especially now with this hyperinflated real estate, someone can pay $200 million for that. They're still bound to the conditions of that contract.
Yep.
So there any other lineal descendant looking access to get to their EV cannot be interrupted, detained, or abused in any form or fashion.
Right.
Because if there is a complaint, then this whole thing comes back on the table, including you.
Yeah.
And we're going to expect answers in court, not in this setting.
Yeah.
So hopefully for the lineal descendants, you understand whatever we agree to here today for your kupuna, that everyone subsequent to that has got to abide by that. That's a matter of contract, and not by kingdom law, but by how the U.S. constitutional law.
Right.
And that's the law that's going to lock them up.
Right.
And so you got to tell your kupuna, or you got to tell your babies that when they go to see their kupuna, it has to be as you guys were led to believe, as you were led to believe. Now, if they do something, it wasn't in the writing or whatever, that doesn't matter. What were you led to believe to be true? This is what we're voting on today.
Yeah.
So we're not agreeing to believe that some superstructure is going to be conducted on there and the new owners have more voice than they have now. No. You still have that voice. You still have that right. And it cannot change. Now, and then the AG can confirm this by the offer acceptance and the consideration that this contract is going to go down on. So
I would like to clarify, this is not a contract. This is a statutory obligation. It's one that's provided by rules, and they have to abide by the law. And so what they're doing is they're making a agreement that, or they're making a plan that is to be accepted by the department, and which is to be recorded as against the property. And so that is what will bind the future owners to do what's in the plan. As far as an audit provision is concerned, I have no idea what you're talking about. Because
let me make that clear. Here it is in the Shifty law. Here it is in the Shifty law.
Wait.
No.
You made a position.
I'm going
to
answer it. You're interrupting me now. You made a question. I'm answering your question.
Better talk.
The provision is right here in the Shifty law. HRS section 13, 300. It says this. that SHFTI shall provide affirmative administrative support and services to the council. That's us. This is what we're looking for. The intent. The intent is that the preservation be within the scope of the understanding of the lineal and cultural descendants. Now, anything in the disagreement of that is in violation of U.S. constitutional law, and you need to get somebody with that kind of background into this meeting. Because I now have this question.
As a council member,
I'm asking that. If you do not provide that, then you're the one that's negligent. Are we clear on that?
I'm clear that I have no idea what you're talking about when you talk about an audit provision. I'm not sure who's supposed to be doing the audit.
Here. Let me educate you on this. An audit is to make sure that whatever we agree upon is in performance. Now, that's basic contract law. I'm sure you have that.
Who is the audit to be performed by?
That's not the issue. Is that something?
It is the issue. Who has the responsibility?
You're making that an issue. Are you a lineal descendant? Are you on the council as a council member? No.
I'm
making the suggestion as the council.
I'm
the council member. You're here as support.
Excuse me. Can we please allow one person to speak at a time?
This is a council meeting.
Please.
The AG is
here
as support.
Let us hear from our deputy AG, please. Thank you.
I don't care who it is. They're there as support. This is a council meeting. This
yes,
is an AG
meeting.
Yes, you
asked for her opinion, so let us please let one person speak.
I'm not asking for her opinion.
Get off the
I'm
phone,
asking for an answer too. To the question. You get that?
You did.
If you don't understand that, it's your ignorance. Now, right here. The lineal descendants, if any of the lineal descendants have question about what I'm asking, they're the ones that should ask. They're the ones that should interrupt me.
But
I'm representing people
who are
lineal descendants and cultural descendants. You got that?
When it becomes a question of what the plan says and what the plan means and how it is to be applied, that is something that would come to my office for review. And what I'm asking is for clarification as to what do you mean by an audit provision. An audit provision, like
here's
when the
answer.
IRS does an audit of tax returns.
We're not talking IRS. We're not talking about the IRS.
I know we're not. But
follow the bouncing
who
ball.
Is supposed to do the audit? That's the question I have.
That
how
that,
is it supposed to function? You
okay, I want to answer. Can I answer your question? Context. Yes or no? Can I answer your question? Yes or no?
No.
You're not even going to answer that? Well, here, I'm going to tell you. The audit provision is a function of whoever has the authority of rule. That would be whom? That would be the council, DLNR, supported by the AG's office. Now, it's what these lineal descendants are led to believe that becomes part of that contract. You're saying it's not a contract?
No,
that's your opinion.
Not. It
that's
has
your
to be
opinion.
In the plan.
I disagree.
What they understand
I disagree.
Has to be in the plan, or it cannot be. How is it going to be interpreted 10 years from now if it's not in the plan? So what they need to do is they need to make sure that the plan reflects their understanding. That's
the
what they need to do. They need to make sure the plan reflects their understanding, and that is what they're agreeing to.
All right.
No.
You're not giving fair representation to these people that come before this council. And I'm going to petition that we get some outside counsel to tighten your legal minds up as to what the offer acceptance and the consideration is. This is basic contract stuff. To say it's not. That's your opinion. That is your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
These lineal descendants want to make sure that the authority in this meeting ensures their interests. Why would they show up? Why would they hire an archaeologist to do the report? Why would the descendants come here? To be misled? No. And you're telling them that this isn't a deal? You better think that again. So I would advise the lineal descendants here that if you're not satisfied with the decision that comes from this as a matter of law, that you get outside counsel. And if you're looking for a counselor for that, you can contact me personally and I can make a recommendation for you. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you. I see that we have a comment from Lockvello. Go ahead, Law.
Hi, Linda. I'm Law. If I could ask a quick question. Before we go into any further discussion, are we just supposed to make a motion first? And if so, what you would, we're looking at right now the discussion and determination on preserving in place or relocation.
Mm-hmm.
And in this BTP or yeah, BTP, it looks like we're looking at preservation in place, which seems to be pretty obvious, and everybody's, including the descendants, have agreed that that's something that they can agree on. So is would it be appropriate, before we have further discussion, to make a motion to preserve in place?
Yes, please. That would be great.
Is that okay? So
I have a question to call my Ms. Chair in law. So we're back on the agenda.
Yes.
I move to accept this burial treatment plan.
Before we do that, do we preserve in place?
We're going to go with the number one first, which is to preserve in place. So we need a motion to preserve in place.
A motion to preserve in place.
I second.
I third.
So we have a motion on the floor to preserve the EV in place for our item B, number four. Any discussion on that? Seems like the lineal descendants and regular cultural descendants approve of this happening. I'd like to call for the vote. All those in favor of preserving the EV in place at this site, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. All those who abstain, the motion passes. Thank you, Law. So the next item on this BTP is recommendations, which is what we started flowing right into. And just to sort of recap, I got the impression that most of everyone here, the descendants, approved and appreciated the BTP that Glenn had written up. I know that Nicole was concerned about the access further down the line. And I know from what I read, it was a very comprehensive, interesting BTP with a lot of oral history stories inside that embedded that is going to be interesting and valuable for the family to have that preserved. So right now we can go into our recommendations. So Glenn, you got a couple already. Are there any more recommendations? We can let him work on these recommendations and defer accepting the BTP and have him come back. And
I like the Medeiros's recommendation for enclosing the buffer zone, only because of later on, you know, right now it's a clear cut grave and all of that, but later on you never can tell. So
yeah,
I think if they wall it and make a nice wall around it, and the family can plant whatever, you know, if they want TVs and stuff, that'd be a nice gesture on the burial treatment plan and respect to the kupuna that's resting there.
Sure.
Yep. So yeah, that was a good recommendation, and I hope we can get that put in.
Yeah, I'll bring that to the property owner, see if we can get it done. Yep. So we're talking about recommendations would be one, rock wall, some kind of preservation to keep everybody, you know, keep anyone who doesn't belong inside out. Okay, so that's one. And now I understand what Cliff is saying about an audit, what he's talking about. When I've done this in the past, but it's basically someone would have to come and review it, even if it meant I had to go down there, or I went and then I took some photos and talked to the family members and just said, okay, so it looks good right now. There hasn't been any incident, no damage, no impact to the site, something like that. We have done that in the past, and it's possible if it seems like that's something that needs to be done, then I can write that in. If I'm going to get pushback on it, though, and people are going to say, don't do it, I don't know that I want to put it in. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that you guys are going to be okay with the changes I make to this, that the recommendations get fulfilled so the family is comfortable, feels good, feels safe, and you guys feel like, okay, great, we can do that.
As long as the audit provision is included in the offer, that's all we need. Whether they do it or not is another issue. As long as it's there.
Right.
So I appreciate what you're doing, Glenn, and just to include that as a sub, whatever, to your deal.
Right.
I'm good with that.
Okay. And I don't want to go against anything that's legal. I'm not trying to say, I don't know what's legal and what's not. I'm just trying to you know, satisfy you, Cliff, and also make sure, satisfy the family, you know, because the family is going to be there. I mean, they're close, so they come down. If they see something, they're going to know, and they're going to, it's going to get reported. And I can go by too. I'm right up the road, and I don't mind doing that as long as I can, you know, as long as I'm still young and active, I'll be all right, right? So,
yeah. The interest of the family, in my mind, is first.
Absolutely.
Millennium cultural descendants, they are first.
Absolutely.
The council is here to serve them, to make sure they're served in their best interest, and something they may not think of now or something that we may know, so that they're aware of it. If the family says, hey, we don't care about that, we don't want to do it, I support that.
Sure.
But as long as you know full scope what you're entitled to.
Yeah, and we've talked about this. We've talked about this before. Respect for the deceased is respect for the living, you know, and that's what we're all about. I mean, we're respecting the family who are still here as well as the folks who have already passed. So we're good.
Thanks, Grandpa.
I think touching on that again, the main thing in all of this is the discussion that occurs with the landowner and with the descendants. And you've obviously done extensive consultation with these ohana, but given that most of them are here, that they're aware of these suggestions that we've made and that other descendants, you know, Uncle Jimmy had a really great point that he made.
Yeah.
And so now they can circle back with you or vice versa. You could circle back with them and see if I did see that, you know, the Lui Ohana said it could be native plant buffer. It could not, but that there is technically a permanent buffer.
Yes.
It just doesn't have, there is not a determination on what that buffer is, whether they're just marking it with pins, and whether if there is any future development, there needs to be coccyx fencing or all of those, you know, those details. So I guess circling back on that with the descendants and with the landowners to come to that space where everyone agrees. Okay. I support that. Definitely. Okay.
Thank you.
Do we need to make some, so it's a recommendation, but it's whether to accept or not accept. Are we recommending, are we deferring? Is that what we're doing?
Go ahead, Deputy Attorney.
So I'd like to just ask for a clarification on that audit provision. So, you know, I understand he will be doing actually a review of the compliance. So something he wants to think about, how often is it done? Who does the report go to? So, you know, who's going to receive the report? Who is he going to report to? Is it done annually, semi-annually, quarterly?
Yes.
So those are the kind of terms you need to put in.
Yeah, generally what I've done in the past is annually, and then I write a letter, and I'm going to send it to the burial sites, Hawaii Island Burial Site Specialist, which is Kea. And that's pretty much where we're at. That's what I've done in the past.
So if there's going to be a contact list of the family of the descendants, which I understand that one will be kept because that's going to be passed along to future owners of the property, could it instead be sent to them so that they have?
Oh, absolutely. Notice? Yeah. And in fact, my guess is that the family is going to be down there more often than I am. And so, you know, they have my contact information. They can call me anytime. If there's a problem, any kind of violation with the preservation measures, then the first thing I'm going to do is let Kea know. And then, of course, he's going to follow up with Doe Care and make sure everything gets taken care of properly.
Uncle Norm, and then Richard Ha.
I just want to comment on the buffer. I like to see a rock wall 3 feet high, you know, preferably 20 to 30 feet radius, and with an opening for the descendants, you know, to walk through, to be written in your burial plan. So everybody's on the same page, and we're not going to put the hog wire, you know, as a buffer. I like to see a rock wall buffer. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Yes.
You know, from the family side, you know, Frank and Tutuman, Tutulady, Kamahili. What we've done is we're working on having representative from each descendant. So that way we can take care of our own family. Like my grandma is Lehulu. So two of us will represent Lehulu's descendants. And then all of the descendants are going to be like that. So that way we can be responsible for our family. You know, so just to let you know that's what we're attempting to do.
Thank you, Mr. Ha. So we have some recommendations on, oh, go ahead, Nicole.
Yes, I concur with the law, Jimmy, Uncle Jimmy's suggested. That's all.
You're muted, Kalena.
Well, your audio was really garbly, and I couldn't hear what you said. Could you repeat it one more time, please?
Okay, you can hear me now better.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. With the wall, yeah, good idea, and I concur. As a descendant, but not a recent descendant. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yes.
But okay. Thank you.
Mahalo. Yeah, I appreciate everybody's coming in and putting in their thoughts about the treatment of the preservation. I know it'll be difficult because there are so many descendants. And I know as the council, we always defer first to our lineal descendants and our cultural descendants to let them make the final decision about their treatment of their EV.
Okay.
So hopefully, Glenn, you'll be able to rally together with the democratic process so that they can all come together, as Mr. Ha was saying, the representatives from each family line, and you know, everybody can have unity and come together with a solution. So just wanted to add that in there.
Thank you for that.
Everybody being here. Scott?
Yeah, I think this burial treatment plan was written. I mean, it really has the descendants as his number one concern. I mean, I looked at the access times. I mean, 1 hour before sunrise, 1 hour after sunset, all these kind of access, the paths, the open, you know, so this thing covers the main concerns for this family, to me, anyway. So I really agree with this burial treatment plan.
Thank you, Scott.
So I'm not sure if we need to have a formal motion to defer this BTP until we meet with Scott again. Kaya, do you know? I'm sorry, I don't always chair the meeting, so I'm not super tight on all of the formalities.
I know Uncle Desmond made that motion kind of on the side, but yeah, you know, if he or somebody just kind of wanted to reinforce that motion and just repeat it, just so it's clear that just so the motion is clear.
Okay, we'll defer this BTP for now until
again. So I'll just move to defer to our next meeting, and that Glenn will circle back with everybody and come to us with what comes.
Second on that motion. Des, you want to second that motion of laws?
Second, sorry. Hold on, my. You know, if I could just share, you know, I get memories. Yeah, we used to fish the Puna Coast. Daryl knows that. You know, there was one of our launching point or a point that we would come out because Uncle Sonny would greet us, sit there, and we could go out over there. And, you know, he was a wonderful man. I always go fishing down there with Cousin Craig. You know, so I feel very familiar with that property and the respect. I mean, it was automatic that you came upon that aina. It was, you know, total respect or get the hell out. And Uncle Sonny always reminded us, and every time we'd come out from the ocean, and he would end up like school. You know, he would educate us. He would repeat himself every time we come out of the ocean. But it's, yeah, so I get personal relations with that aina. And just mahalo, you know, Glenn, for your work. It's incredible. I'm just reading this and really well done. Mahalo.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Miley?
I just noticed that one of our cousins who has been very active as well over there just joined us. Aika, can we provide just a brief summary? Because I know that you were just going to revisit with the revisions. And he just joined. Can we do just a quick summary? Glenn? You're muted.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the main thing is the question of a rock wall. So we're going to put a buffer, a rock wall buffer with a gate for access. So that's one of the questions to go back to the family. Is that something they like see or, you know, not? Okay. The other thing is just, you know, we're calling it an audit, a recommendation for audit or an audit provision. And really what that means is that on a regular basis, probably annually or twice a year, that somebody can tell us, you know, okay, yeah, the preservation measures have been put in place are still there. They're being respected. There's no damage to the preservation measures, no damage to the site, and that everything that was agreed upon is still kind of taking place. Yeah. So that's kind of what that is. And it sounds like, you know, from what Richard said, that, you know, the family is involved, and so that's something they can do. I'm right up the road. I don't mind going by there once in a while too. I can call ahead and do that. So I think those are the two recommendations that need to be addressed and then revisited or added into the revised burial treatment plan.
I've got a question for the family, lineal and cultural descendants. Are you guys okay with this vote being moved to the next month? Is that convenient for you guys, or what's your manao on that? You want it done now, or you can do them next month? Or how you feel about that?
Aloha, Clifford. Yes, next month is fine.
Do we have any more comments or discussions? Waiola, did you have anything you wanted to add to?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, actually, those two things were the two things I wanted to make sure. What her question was those two things going to be put onto the plan? I just wanted to make sure the plan that we were going to vote on was on. But I understand that until he talks to the family about the wall, we probably should defer.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully then we can call for the vote now if all have made their points and comments. Vote all those in favor of deferring accepting this BTP until next month when we come back with the next version from Glenn. Say aye, please. Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Anyone abstaining? Okay, the motion passes for us to defer this accepting this BTP until next month. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Great
you, Council.
To see everyone.
Thank you very much.
Hey, everybody.
All right. Next on our business is C, Descendancy Recognition Application of Nicole Louie to Unidentified Native Hawaiian Skeletal Remains located at Kamalumalu Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 37-7-004:057:058. And I do have a letter because Hinano sent us all a letter to the burial council members from Hinano Rodriguez History and Culture Branch Chief. The subject is the descendancy recognition application of Nicole K. Louie to unidentified human skeletal remains in the Royal Ali'i subdivision, Kamalumalu Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 37-7-004, 1057.058 for the purpose of establishing and substantiating a lineal cultural descendant claim to the unidentified skeletal remains of the above property. The named individual below has submitted an application to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, State Hawaii Preservation Division, for assessment and verification pursuant to Hawaii Administrative Rules 13-300-35. The administrative rules require that the applicant provide evidence of genealogical connections to a Native Hawaiian ancestor who once resided and or are buried in the same ahupua'a or district where the unidentified skeletal remains are located or originated from. In this case, the applicant listed below has submitted information genealogically connecting herself to Jane Ka'ele Makula, who was born in and resided in the ahupua'a of Kaumalumalu. Therefore, the SHIPD recommends the HIBC recognize the individual listed below as a cultural descendant to unidentified human skeletal remains in the Royal Ali'i Subdivision, Kaumalumalu, Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, EMK 37-7-004:057.058, Nicole K. Louie. So, Nicole, would you like to come and talk about your testimony for this application?
Yes. Everybody can hear me. In here, Helena.
Yeah, it was okay. A little garbly. I don't know if it's your mic on your...
Yes, my mic. So, it's Ka'ele Makule. Ka'ele Makule was born January 5th, 1855 in the Ahupua of Kaumalumalu to Ke'aka O Nali'i, his mama. Ke'aka O Nali'i is the daughter of Puna Lua of Kinimaka, Ke'aweamahi Kinimaka, who had 8 wahine and many children. We know that it was part of their status to have as many wahine as they wanted and as many children. So she is the product of one of his many wahine. So Ke'aka O Nali'i. Kinimaka was working in the Ahupua of Kaumalumalu during the construction of the Judd Trail. While he was working there and living there, Ke'aka came, gave birth in Kaumalumalu to John Ka'ele Makule. And Kinimaka said to her to name the child Ka'ele Makule. Because he was an old man working the land as a mahi'ai and also during the construction of the Judd Trail. Ke'aka's half-brother, David Leleo Kinimaka, died on that trail as well. Fell off his horse, cracked his head, and he died shortly after that. David Leleo Kinimaka was one of the commanders of the Royal Guard for King David Kalaakaua. So also Kinimaka is the Hanai Makua of David Kalaakaua, King Kalaakaua, and he and his wife Kanuha Ahil, Hanai Kalaakaua, and raised him to the age of 5 until it was time for him to go to the Royal School in Lahaina Luna. So that is my connection to Kaumalumalu. And shortly after his birth, he was hanai to families in Mahai'ula, to Ka'ai Kaula and Poke. Just all I wanted to share, my connection, linearly and genealogically and my background. Mahalo.
Hello, Nicole. Does the council have any questions? Yes, Uncle Norm.
Nicole, could you kind of explain where the location is on this ahupua'a?
It's in the
It's in North Corner. Did you want a physical? Well, I got to give you a physical explanation. I'm sorry, Uncle. It's in North Corner in the section of the Okana of the Kaiopua lands, because North Corner was divided into the Kekaha lands and the Kaiopua lands. So everything from Lanihau to Pu'ohau, where Hokulea is, the Hokulea development, everything from Lanihau to Pu'ohau is all the Kaiopua lands. Everything from Kiahu'olu to Pu'uanahulu is all the Kekaha lands. So my tutu was born in Kaumalumalu in the Kaiopua lands because of the, and then next to Hololoa and next to Pu'apu'a, not Pu'apu'a, but Pahoehoe, the Ahupua's, it's situated between the Ahupua's of Hololoa and Pahoehoe. I hope that answers your question, Uncle.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome.
If we have no more questions, can we get a motion on the floor to recognize Nicole as a cultural descendant for the Sahupua'a?
Yeah, I make a motion
to have Nicole Lui accepted as a cultural descendant of this Ahupua'a.
I second.
Thank you, Scott. Any discussion? We'll call for the vote on this motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. All those abstaining, the motion passes. Thank you, Nicole.
Mahalo. Mahalo, everyone.
Mahalo, yaoi.
Mahalo.
Item 5, next on our agenda, inadvertence communications. A, inadvertent discovery of human skeletal remains 1 through 9 in Royal Ali'i Subdivision, Kaumalumalu, Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK 37-7-004:057,058. Notification discussion on the above inadvertent discovery. Thank you, Kea.
Oh, this one will actually be Chris.
What's that? Oh, Chris.
This one, it'll be Chris.
Good morning, everyone. So down in the Kaumalumalu Ahupua'a, there were currently 9 inadvertent discoveries made on that parcel. The area was previously bulldozed in about this, what was that, the 80s, I believe. And in 2002, a study was done on the property. When a study was done, they found 2 burials. And those burials were in the preservation area. When they started doing this current project, they came across the 9 inadvertents, 4 of which, almost 2, 3, 4, were badly disturbed from the bulldozing prior to the 2002 study.
What's the definition of inadvertent? Can you tell me?
The definition of inadvertent? Something encountered. I'm not sure how to say that. Something encountered unintentionally? I'm not sure.
So the studies that were done previously and for the people that live there, how can you have 9 inadvertent discoveries in one area? This is why I would defer to counsel here. Is that not a form of negligence?
And
I believe the original plan, was it Reckman? Who did the original air inventory survey?
The 2002 one?
Yeah, I mean, it was Han, but Han took it over for who?
Oh, that I'm not sure.
So the original plan, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, actually, I need to ask Linda, if I have knowledge of this plan, it's okay for me to share that, or okay, yeah. From outside, Solomon works for Han, and it was mentioned that Han took over the plan for somebody who actually did it. So there is a bit of a discrepancy in the both the question of how thorough was this work, along with someone else. I think it was Reckman. Was it Reckman, Uncle Jimmy?
I don't know.
But Han submitted it, but he did not do the work. The majority of the work was done by a different archaeological firm.
No, there was a Kennedy. Kennedy?
Oh, Joe Kennedy, yeah. Joe Kennedy.
Yeah.
Did the and old that- one.
So, there's a question of how thorough that was, definitely.
I think Joe Kennedy did the burial treatment plan along with Mina Ellison. And then I thought Han came in later in 2003, yeah? And then before that, some work was done by... Oh gosh.
It's Rosendahl.
No, it wasn't Rosendahl. I had him here. You mentioned the names, but
the point is, the survey wasn't done very thoroughly, and a lot of times that happens.
Especially because a part of the property was graded in the 80s, prior to the study done in 2002. So a portion of it was already backfilled and bulldozed. And so it made it a little harder to locate anything on the property, from what I understand. And that's why we are where we are right now.
Let's hit that. So Chris, what's happening with the, so there's fragments of at least four individuals and then more. So what is the update right now? What is the status? What's going to happen? Where are they? What is the treatment?
So three individuals, one, three, and six were in the roadway. So the road was graded, filled, and then compacted. So they found them later when they were digging trenches on the sides of the road. They found them there. They were badly disturbed. So those, I spoke with Uncle Norman and we decided that we have them taken out and made better. And we're gonna have them moved into a preservation area with individual number 4 and 9. They're in one area. And then there was individual number 2 that was found in the easement, the preservation easement. That one is being preserved there. So we had them remove the sidewalks from the roadway to create a preservation there for that. And right now we're at 7 and 8. Those, we didn't make a determination yet so we're still there.
Where are the descendants in this process?
Right. Could we just finish up with the individuals? So what is the condition of 7 and 8? Like, where are they located, and why are you waiting to make it?
They're also in the roadway. They're in a trench in the roadway, on the sidewalls of a trench in the roadway. And they were also, they show previous breaks and damage.
And that's from the dozing that happened prior to the surveying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then my next question, like Cliff, was, okay, we have some descendants here. Are you guys there monitoring? Go ahead.
Yes, I was a registered descendant to this site, to this area, since 2002. My whole family. And it's really disturbing that all this happened from back last year, September, October. Bodies was being removed. There was no protocol at all. No, stop the work, put up the fences, find the families, which already. My family's acceptance letter is part of their documents for this project. So everybody knew. The state knew, everybody who is involved had the copy of these documents knew that my family was involved. We never got any consultation. And yet, this kept on going and going for many months now. And it's really a heartbreaker for me because, yes, it's the state who has the responsibility to notify us during this kind of project because we're not like coming in for acceptance today. We've been accepted 15, 20 years ago, seemed like, you know, and we never was notified that, hey, we get inadvertent, what we should do. In the meantime, they decided to pick them up and remove them because we're not agree with that at all. Not going to ever agree to that. Not because somebody throws in the past is a reason why we have to just automatically feel sorry for the dozing in the past. Aokupuna is right there. And I can show many, many instances of kupuna being broken and scattered, just like the ones in this mentioned in this situation. And we just gather them all up, no matter how wide. Sometimes the archaeologist got to clean 50 feet all around, whatever it takes. We collect all the EV. We put them right there. We put up the monument. We put up the buffer. We don't have to move them out of the way because there is a road. We don't have to move them out of the way for any of these things because this is all a failure on different components and definitely not the kupuna. The kupuna was already there. So we not can be worried about roads and stuff. We got to worry about the kupuna. And for me, I went visit the site yesterday. And it's a concentration. It's like there's no mistake. This is a concentration. One whole bunch of them was found in the same area. And as the archaeologists did their thing, which was supposed to be or screen the area, my opinion is they never screen enough because every time they find one, I see the area they screen and clean the area only 5-10 feet wide. But then they go dig some more and then they find another EV 10-15 feet away. So that happened many times over there, one whole bunch of them. So why never stop already? You know, protocols not being followed, work not stopping, fences not up, consultation not happening. This is a concentration. This is not individual burials. There's a special status. There's all of these components that really concerning me and my ohana. And we don't like the idea that, you know, we're not comfortable with the idea that they will go disinter anything at all without telling us because we're already on the documents. We don't agree with them being moved anywhere at all. At this point, we want total shutdown. This needs to be a cease and desist. We need to all get into this and go over there. You know why, everyone? This is right next to one of the most sacred sites. So we have so many sacred sites as Hawaiians. But this is next to the Kekelani Wahine Heiau complex. This is bordering that. Now, these people that's in here is not just nobody, anybody could be touching and moving. This is right next to the most sacred place of the time, that era. And that's our kupuna over there that we got to look after. Not the roads, not the... You, if you got the documents and you saw where they're finding them, we're going to have dry wells, sewer, all these different utilities. It's not our concern. Our concern is all of... This all failed. A lot of these pieces that should have been there failed. Yeah, we never like. I know I am very against that idea of these have been disinterred, and I am sad, okay, because I know that the state never recognize, give us notification, even after they started digging them up in last year. But the people who dig them up is related to me. And they got recognized today. My cousin Nicole got recognized today. But nobody tell me. She don't tell me. We didn't go Kano Ivi and Lili Okalani together. Never tell me, oh, cousin, we're digging them up since last year. I would have never let this continue. Because this is wrong, what's going on. No use on descending for go dig up Ivi. You get on protocol for follow. Everybody needs consultation. That's what makes it fair and gives us all the opportunities to do the most best thing for the kupuna, not just one person. And sometimes we conflict it out. Depends on what we're doing, you know. If we're working for Alan Han and Alan Han doing the survey, we might be conflicted out because we're still there digging up our kupuna. The other family who work for Alan might not want it. We might see, yes, it's fragmented. We agree with you. Our kupuna might be in 1,000 pieces. But that kupuna no need to go anywhere else. It's been bothered enough. So I'm sorry I might be going too long for a moment. I have much more to share on this in the future. I am getting families all ready to come and protect these EVs. And I thank you for letting me share this with you, Council. Mahalo.
Thank you, Jimmy. Sorry this is happening.
I have a question for the AG. When someone applies for a grubbing and grading permit from the state, does the state make sure that there are no EV in that area? And if not, why not? Thank you.
Because grubbing and grading permits are applied for to the county, not the state.
What's the state's legal opinion on negligence in grubbing and grading? Do you have one?
Not absent specific facts.
So I want to address Bada's comment on your kupuna. So Bada, it just seems to me that the first guy that came in with the bulldozer was messing everything up. They had to have a permit. And whoever issued that permit failed to make sure that that area was conducive to that. And now come all these years later, and they're telling you, oh, you got to just pick up your Evie, put them in jars, take them home or whatever. And that's your family. You should decide. And that goes back before there was a state, before there was a county. That's how it was. So they're talking about preserving our integrity and our culture. They can't be performed by some outside culture. Yeah. So I just tell you this, brother. For me on here, I represent you and your honor. Whatever you like me to do, I'm going to do them. Because what I see is negligence on the state's part. This whole umbrella about having a burial council. Because it's this, what I've learned from within the attorney legal community, DLNR doesn't even pay attention to these burial plans because they know there's no enforcement to it. So they just go ahead and do it. And that came from a qualified attorney who's famous here in Hawaii. So I have little to no respect for how the law works here. By example, in 1993, President Bill Clinton apologized for the illegal overthrow. The President of the United States admitted this whole thing is illegal. And so what are we doing here? We're trying to make the illegal legal? It's insane, totally insane. And who's representing the Poe Kaiko? who's representing the people here? Who? Yeah? Speaking their same language. So when you talk their language, they get all pulled. Oh, they don't like answer. They want to defer. They want to blame it on the county, or they want to blame it on someone else. They're the government. They got no problem taxing us. We're being taxed without representation, a violation of the U.S. Constitution. Holds these people liable. So you don't have to back down none of the bullshit that they try to tell you. It's by their law, they're held responsible, and they're failing to do that. But what do? They try to take some brought out Tita and put him in front of us saying, oh, but the brother said, Tita said, nah. Look at that Olelo. Is that Olelo true? Does that fit Armanal? Nah. So I just suggest to you, brother, no listen to that. But anything I can do in this council to help your family, I guarantee you I can do that. So mahalo.
Thank you, Kapono. Uncle Norm, and then Law.
I just want to, for more knowledge, share with you on the grubbing permit. A grubbing permit is only needed by the county if your property you are grubbing is larger than 1 acre. If your property is larger than 1 acre, then you need a grubbing permit. If it's less than an acre, you don't need a grubbing permit. You have to get it from the county, the building department. Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Norm. Law, and then Jack Kelly.
Just, you know, with what Uncle Jimmy said, in this entire situation, I think everybody included, you know, I think Kea and Chris also both recognize that this has a long history, and there have been things that have happened that we all know are not formal, you know, and maybe our systems have changed with grading and grubbing. I think there's a much more thorough process at this point than there was back in early 2000s. I don't think it's a perfect system yet, but I think it's definite. Our entire preservation system has grown. But with that being said, now we're at a position where the mistakes of 20 years ago have really, really harmed our Iwi Kupuna and these individuals who are buried in these places. And that being said, you know, with Uncle Jimmy, his hurt that he wasn't involved in this process when he should have been, that shouldn't be happening. And then with, you know, we've got Nicole, who's doing the best she can in her seat, but they need the opportunity to sit as Ohana and figure this out for themselves. And that was kind of stripped from them at all levels. And I could see how everybody's doing the best they can. And, you know, in the moment when you're doing these things, maybe Nicole's not thinking about who she needs to notify, because it wasn't ever her responsibility, right, to notify Uncle Jimmy, but she could have. So there's this unintentional situation where a descendant was left out of a conversation that he is entitled to be a part of. And on the state level, you know, somebody should have contacted Uncle Jimmy, and this situation could have been dealt with differently. And now that we're in the space that we're in and we're having a discussion here, you know, as a burial council, we don't have we're not making the determination for this inadvertent, because it's an inadvertent. Shifty is. But I think, you know, for Chris and Kea, knowing what you're hearing from Uncle Jimmy and you know, and hopefully we can hear a little bit from Nicole too, if you want to share. But how are you planning to move forward with this? What is our purpose as Shifty representatives, as burial council, and as descendants? Our loyalty and our focus should be these Iwi. So, you know, what if Nicole wants to share, and if Shifty, if you guys could just let us know what's going through your minds, that'd be, I think, good to hear.
Oh, holy.
Let me say one more thing.
I know Jack was going to speak too, so we can go.
I just like refer to what just was said. This was really important. You know, sometimes I feel like these consultants, which is people like Alan Han, the owners of these companies, they use people to get what they don't need done. Like Nicole working for him, he working for the owner. They start finding Evie. Then they somehow get Nicole who say, I'm descending. I take care of this Kuleana. At that point, she's supposed to contact us, but she made it official that she's going to take over this and to make the decision for all of us that I'm going to remove this because it's fragmented, because of whatever reasons it is. It's still part of the broken chain, and I needed to identify the broken chain, not just at the LNR level where they were already registered with the documents at hand. And no consultation for like 6 months ago already. And then now we get our own family going to get a little bit divided over this kind of stuff because we are all related to the same place, but we don't work for Alan. So we're not concerned with his problems. We're not concerned with dry wells or anything. We're only concerned of one thing, the Evie. And we never get our consultation from two sides. From the state and from our own Ohana working there. It's like really like a double bomber, you know what I mean? Double bomber, and you hang out with your Ohana and they still don't tell you about it. But yet they're making all the paperwork for come over here and be connected. And if we never got told even then that one descendant would have just taken it totally fine to go out and do all the whole thing without involving no one. And the process would work for a consulting archaeologist because, hey, I got a descendant. But the process is broken. My explanation is mostly about the broken, all the way broken. Thank you.
Did you have something you wanted to add to this comment?
Yeah, I do. Can you hear me? I just want to say, you know, for you guys who don't know, I'm Jack. I work with Jimmy. I've been working with Jimmy for 22 years about these issues. Since Jimmy was appended to the 2002 burial treatment plan, Jimmy's descendancy, his whole family is listed there. Since he was not consulted, I don't think that any of these determinations that have been made since September up till now concerning these Evie should stand. Any determinations that have been made should be voided. We should start from the beginning. That's my manal. Thank you.
Nicole, did you want to answer Law's question?
Sure. Yes, I do work for Alan Han. It wasn't my intent to... But I work for Alan Hart, and I think I'm sorry if I didn't tell Jimmy. I'm sorry, Jimmy. But I didn't make the determination to take him out. Not because I dare. Working for Alan Hart, that he renews me for get the okay for take him out, because that's not true. I believe that it's not a conflict of interest. I think it's a convergence of interest, because I was able to do protocol before we removed Ibi Kupuna and ask for that. Because I saw my property. I don't know whose property that is. I just know that it belongs to one Haole man, and that's his property. So I guess the state okayed all the stuff, all the AISs and everything, and they gave them the okay to go in and do his project. So so that's coming from my point of view. I was only following my heart, because I couldn't see Ibi Kupuna smash, gathered like that.
And because the area had been previously bulldozed, if you look in the previously bulldozed, all this is where the EV was. And when Ali went in, there was no mounds, there was nothing to show that all of this had been, you know, had burials inside. So all he could say was it was previously bulldozed, a large area, and this is the area where we're finding all the EV. So how are we to know that had EV down there? And so I don't know who's, I'm thinking, sure, maybe the state should have told Jimmy from the beginning, but I don't think from a descendant point, yes, I should have said something to Jimmy, but I wanted to wait to see what the state would say. A whole bunch of things was going through my mind and through my head. So, and when I saw Kupuna in this scattered and smashed state, where the skulls were smashed and they were just pounded right into the, there was this smash right into the rock. And there was bedrock, cracked bedrock. One of the Kupuna was so smashed in there. It was horrible. It made even me cry. And, you know, and I told Juliana and Solomon, I said, you know, this is really hurtful for me, you know, to see my Kupuna like this. But what I'm going to do, you know, I can't leave them like that. You know, I don't know what, you know, it's not my property. And I would rather see them taken out of there than left there to get smashed some more. Because I don't, you know, the landowner is the landowner. And I just following my heart and what I'm supposed to do. And I would rather have Kupuna Ibi in a safe place. So I have four of them with me right now in my hale. And the curation was given to me by the state. And I'm thankful to Christian that he allowed me to take them home. And I don't talk to them. I don't ask them for inspiration or kahuna or all that kind of stuff. I don't do that. I bring them home and I tell them, you know, Kupuna, I'm going to give you a place to rest for now until we can get a beautiful place made for you folks on that property. And we got to talk to the landowner. And I was going to ask if Jimmy can do the reinterment site. You know, that was my plan. But I didn't make mention to anybody, but that was what was in my heart and my mandala, that we can work together to make a beautiful place for them. And even if the landowner got to give up one of his lots just for us to build our reinterment site and then have all the Kupuna put in that one beautiful place that I know Jimmy can build for them. And that was my mandala. And it wasn't to be... or what you call hiding or anything from Jimmy or anybody. But for me, I thought I had a protocol to follow. The state's supposed to either let Jimmy know or my boss is supposed to let Jimmy know and work down the line. And if they wanted me to tell Jimmy, they would have said something to me. So Jimmy, I'm sorry if you feel that way. And no, I'm not mad at you. I'm not angry with you or anything. And I don't hate you. And I don't want division between us because we are family on the Kaele Makule side and to Henry Clark. And I'm related to a great many people in Kona because of my parents. And from, you know, and so I just pray, I chant, I do hula, and I learn from Makojoka Hananui how to pray and talk to Ibi Kupuna, because Joe was Kahananui, was the last Kahuna Pule, and he shared some of his olis with me. And so I carry that on, and I share that with the Kupuna when I have to do something for them. I'm sorry. I do have Kupuna with me, Kalena, and Barrett Council members, and I take care of them. So at this time, I don't know what else to say. Thank you.
Mahalo, Nicole.
Let me say something. Let me say something. It's like, okay, I will show you guys that the state never do their thing. But also, cousin, Nicole, I love you. I'm really hurt. You have no idea my pain. Because I love you, Nicole, as my Ohana. I totally feel that it's all a connection between the developer, the owner, you know, Alan Han, and all that. It's the division that's breaking us right now. Because somewhere in this process, you decide to take them out. And then you saying that the state told you to take them out. But I always believe they always defer to the descendants. And yes, you and Taurenfo take them out because of your personal feelings that you think that, okay, they're broken, I need to do this and that. But I go back to you. That you are a professional. You are a professional. You've been doing this for 12 years, you said. Yeah, so for 12 years, let me finish. For 12 years, you do this work. For 12 years, you know every protocol that got to be followed. You're not ignorant. This is not the first time you see Kupuna Ivi broken and you heartbroken and you crying. But you inside, you know every protocol because you was part of this system. Just like me. You did this. You've been doing it for 12 years. You don't can get an excuse. Oh, I never know. I'm sorry. You 100% know the process.
I never say that I never know. And I'm sorry. 100%
know the protocol.
No, I did not say that.
You would broke them all. Only when benefit the
family. Sorry, benefit. Then. I told you I'm sorry. What more you like, Jimmy?
Okay, I'm sorry. I just want everybody to take a breath. Take a breath, please. Everyone needs to take a breath.
Lying and making believe. Everything got to be factual on the spot. And if you was working this job and you're so proud of it.
I'm not lying about anything.
You know.
I tell you the truth of what happened. And I did not say to remove the TV.
I want to interrupt you guys. I'm sorry. We just need to take a breath and cool down. That's not productive, Jimmy. It's just got to calm down. This is another time for meeting up later for
you guys. For you want to leave me, you come get them, okay? Come to my house and you get them.
You put them back where you didn't take them. You're not supposed to touch them.
You come and get them. My mom said come and get them.
You don't have no right to take them out.
All right, you guys, let's stop right now. Uncle Desmond, if we can get the floor for a minute, I'd like to hear from Uncle Des.
Self-serving people. No, serve yourself around me. I'm not going to stand for it. Sorry. Thank you, Chair. I'm standing down.
Uncle Desmond, you're muted.
You're muted.
Kali. Iloko ka hahoy. This is so disheartening. I feel for Kea, I feel for Chris doing the job, being caught in between all of this. You know, this reminds me of Honokahau, sitting in the Hui Kuka Kuka with Reverend David Kaalake telling those people, you cannot go there, get evil over there. The state of Hawaii said, the land is sold. Until they found 150 flower boxes of Ivy in a container with palawas, with hair, with laoho. And the state still, and then they created the mouth. You know, what are we doing here? Our whole kuleana is to malama o Ivy kupuna. And this is exactly where the state of Hawaii wants us divided. And I'm glad AG, what are you doing here for? You cannot even support the burial council to hear that Uncle Jimmy. No, exactly what they want us to be. This family is divided and fighting right here on this recording. What are we doing here? We have no support from the attorney general to hear the attorney general say, you know what? It's not our kuleana, it belongs to the county. What the hell with that? You're supposed to be the law of the land, this illegal occupied land, and to pass it off like that, that's bullshit. That, as Attorney General, you're supposed to support the kuleana of this borough council. No, this is exactly what the state of Hawaii wants us to be divided. Our family is fighting over here. For what? Only for a iwi kupuna. From Honokaha, we sat there. The answer from the state of Hawaii, well, the land is sold. There's just a few iwi kupuna. Over 3,000 were discovered. Finally, they said, what the hell? Let's negotiate. That's bullshit, then. And to come today to this meeting, to listen to our families argue because, it's not our kulia, it belongs to the county. That's bullshit, then. You represent the Attorney General's office. And regardless, if you don't know anybody, then put somebody over here that knows something. Put Ige over here. Long history with Attorney General from the Mauna now to today. And this is disheartening. I'm broken up over here. How dare you come to this meeting and tell us that it's not our kuleana. That belongs to the county. When is this going to stop? When is this going to stop? Exactly where you want us to be, divided. We get family fighting over here because of your state regulations, because of your state laws, which actually is illegal. Because you guys don't have anything. You have no tools in your toolbox to fix this. We keep passing the buck. Oh, as a county guy, as the planning department, as now a kuleana. If it was found, all work stops. That was my understanding of this borough council. They found this, whether it's inadvertent, I don't care. If it's Evie found there, go find out whose Evie is that. We can go, we have record that goes back hundreds of years. After the release of the Judd files in 2006, it's all there, it's all inside there. What are we doing here? I feel bad for Chris, I feel bad for Kale. They're doing all this work, but it seems like, hey, mahalo, thank you. Here's your lunch money. Go have lunch. And come back, struggle with the same thing. It's ridiculous. We come to the same meeting. We have the same issues. We don't get no support from an attorney general. I don't know what else to say. I don't like to say much, but I get too emotional. But this is, I don't like to see our families fighting over iwi kupuna. Here at the burial council, where we're supposed to help them find solutions, find them a pathway to a process that requires healing. And it's never done. It's same conversation, different time, different date, different year. It's the same conversation. The same narrative, the same emotions that our children, we were all children at one time, faced with the same issues. I said earlier, we used to come to Uncle Sonny's place, knowing that if you were there, don't go there. But then the state comes and goes, no, go, it's all right, because they sold the land. Or who got up the permit? Or it's because it's a county, that's not our jurisdiction. The jurisdiction has no value in Hawaii. You like research? Do your 2016 South China Sea Tribunal. You don't have no authority. So if you're getting paid by our taxpayers' money, go find out. We've had this issue with Attorney General way back already. To tell us, well, I don't know about that. You're the educated one. You're supposed to have answers for us. No pass the buck. You know, I start forgetting emotionally, but this is so frustrating. It's disheartening when I have my families fighting like this. Or with an issue that the state of Hawaii had a solution. I'm so sorry. I'll call Ohana for you guys to go through this. This is not the place for this. That requires something. Sounds like a hui kuka kuka or ho'oponopono, or just a ho'opono. Because remember, this fight is not your fault. this fight is not your fault. It is the fault it's so sad. And you guys are getting paid for this. I don't know what else to say, is that, I just apologize to Louis and, this is what you guys are going through, because I remember this case when you came. And just to hear the progress, if you can call that a progress, it's more of a regress. We have some really good, talented Akamai people here, but we stay handcuffed. Remember, Clifford, when I posted that, I made this post of Queen Liliuokalani handcuffed. And we still handcuffed today. Yeah, I don't like it. If the attorney general is going to attend, I say put somebody over there who has answers, who is in support. That was my understanding. Like, I thought you were here to support us. But there's no difference between a reason and an excuse. And it's no fault of ours. We're just trying to malama our Ivy Kupuna. That's all we're trying to do. But when we come to a meeting like this and we have our families fighting over an issue that was not their fault. Yeah. How many is done for now?
Hello, Uncle. Chris, did you want to say something?
I just want to say that not contacting you, Uncle, sorry, that was an oversight on my part. Auntie Nicole didn't make those decisions to have them removed. I did. But just to know what they look like, that was horrible. And I couldn't see leaving them like that. But yeah, that's all.
Chris, I want to say too, I know we all have our own ways of dealing with things and how we would deal with something on the spot. And the courage it takes to deal with something like that on the spot. And I know for me, whether Jimmy would disagree or not, I would pick up those fragments too. I wouldn't leave them on the ground in the sun to be continually crushed and smashed into that matrix that they were calling a road. And so, be it wrong, I immediately would be crying and picking up those fragments and covering them and putting them somewhere and apologizing to them for what happened. So, and I too am sad, like Uncle Des, to see you guys fighting. This isn't the place. This is not the place for Ohana to be doing this argument, because you guys need a more peaceful place where you can sit together with people that love you and everybody pule and hold together and take care of this so that you're not where you guys are right now. It makes me sad. And I'm Ohana to you guys too. So that means I'm a part of this, and I just want to see everybody try to come together and understand that choices and decisions get made. They might not be agreeable to everybody, but at the given moment in an emergency, I can see how that happens. I would like to suggest our—
Kalamai, if I could reiterate, Chris, don't apologize. It's not our fault what's going on. We're trying to work within those lines that we're being force-fed. We're trying our best to work within those lines. And those lines are getting narrower and narrower. So, Chris, you don't apologize. I understand where your position is. I understand where Louis, I understand where you are. But you cannot apologize anymore. When Clinton came and did the 1993 apologize, we were a group of people. We don't like that. We're like, everything back. We're not like what Palapala telling us, hey, Kalamai. We never like Kaho'olawe back. and swap 4,000 acres for 10,000 acres of Pohakuro. It's another good, the reason I mentioned that, but there's another Makavale, is another view of how they wanted us against each other. We can no longer go against each other. Chris, you know, none of you guys, you know, here on the council, was any apologies. Like I said, you guys handcuffed. You know, we all get families to feed. You got to keep your job, understood. Understand the love for the even, the love for the work. But no apologize. You're doing the best you can for our Ivi Kupuna, like all of us here. We're doing the best we can within these fucking guidelines, what they call laws, state of Hawaii laws, Hawaii Vice Statute. And we still have that. So I'm not going to accept your apologies, Chris. I'm going to mahalo you for that, for taking action. You know, I probably would have done, I don't know. I don't know what the emotions is at that moment to come there. I don't know. I don't know if it took 12, 2, I don't know. We'll never know. All we can embrace is Ke Akua in our lives and help him guide us and keep us strong together. Yeah. Keep us strong together. We're on one va. Yeah. They need to take responsibility for the heva we face it today. It's not us. So no apologies. We had apologies enough already. Enough is being said already. It's about time the state of Hawaii step up and do something that's correct and right for us. Sorry, Kalamai.
I gotta say something. This is about making something happen. Let's not leave this meeting without solving this problem. We need assist and desist on this project because they're still out there working. They're still out there digging. So when is it enough? When they find another one all broken, we're all going to cry about it, all wah-wah, but we never do nothing. That's what happened for the last 6-8 months. We never do nothing. They kept on digging. They never stop anything. They saved the last tree because, wow, it's about 9 or 10. It's a concentration. We cannot do this. This is wrong. Now where we at? So they're still digging, gang. So we don't need to apologize nothing to each other. So we're not here for that. We're here for protect Ivi. And those Ivis are going to keep getting dig up as long as the machines keep moving over there. And the process has failed badly on all levels. So this needs to stop. Cease and desist needs to be ordered. Then the process of all the ho'oponopono, the communication, all of that going to come together at that time. We cannot keep on digging up our Ivi. And then, oh, they'll come and tell us, oh, get one more. Then, oh, fragmented. We got to dig them out. No way. We worked 30 years, 20 years, whether it's Honokahahua, wherever we work for take care of Ivis. We got sick of putting Ivis in monuments. We stopped digging out all our kupuna, put them over there conveniently for other people. They stay where they stay. Other people move away, like I tried to explain. This is Kekela'ani Wahine complex. She never put any old people out there. These are important people to our culture, important kupunas. So we need to stop this project right now and get a hold of the burial issues, which is all hemorrhaging, but it's all fixable when there's a stop. Because if they find even one more kupuna Ivi, that is our fault. Thank you.
Uncle Norm, and then I'm gonna ask our deputy attorney a question of what our next steps are. Go ahead, Uncle Norm.
I'd like to make a motion on this, the cease and desist that Jimmy is talking about. I think we need the cease and desist to be voted on by this council right now. And as soon as possible, the nearest, closest date, serve these people and stop this project. That's, I make a motion to cease and desist this project.
I second that. Can we?
Okay. I would like to put up for discussion, but I'd like to hear from your deputy AG to ask what the recourse is, because you can see this huge problem. You can see what everyone's going through. So what do we have? What does the state do? And who is responsible for this? And how does a decease and desist order get implemented in this situation?
The state and SHPD do not have the authority to issue a cease and desist. I don't know what the
that's bullshit.
Wait. I don't know what the factual background on this is. Part of it has to do with the county grubbing and grading permit. If there are conditions in there that are not being observed, they can issue a cease and desist on the permit that they have issued. With regards to these sort of permits, it's SHPD's only role is to review and comment on them. It's up to the county agency issuing the permit to impose the comments or to translate the comments into conditions in the permit and then to enforce those conditions. That's the way the system works. I would have to get more information to identify if there are any other laws that are being violated. But in general, the only one that I can comes to mind right now is if somebody does grading and grubbing without a permit. But it sounds like they have a permit in this case. So the next thing we need to do is look at the permit conditions and talk with the county about getting them to start doing to issue a cease and desist until we figure out if the permit conditions have all been complied with.
And who is the person that does that and implements that?
So I can ask Christian and Kea to check with the county or to check the correspondence that we had with the county. And then somebody needs to follow up with the county permitting department to see if they, what the permit is that they issued and what conditions were on the permit.
But meanwhile, they can still keep running their dozer until we have a big enough red flag to stop them, which is already a bunch of EV polished and pulverized. I'm not sure when is enough enough. Like, what is the final, you know, the flag that gets thrown down that stops this? That's a really long process. And if this was illegally dozed in the 80s, and then in 2002, a survey, it just seems like an ongoing, you know, scenario that just keeps piling more debris on top of what was previously done. So it's very upsetting, disconcerting. I feel powerless, like Uncle Desmond was saying, handcuffed.
Burial Council needs an outside independent opinion outside of the AG's office, because we've not been given adequate counsel. We're in disagreement. So the council should seek outside third party legal interest. And then the AG can dispute that. Now, we're here to represent these clients, these people that come before us, and we can't get it together. That's just crazy. Under a democratic government, this is insane, totally insane. So not pointing a finger at anybody. We're all trying to do what we're assigned to do, but we are all here appointed under the law. Every council member here is appointed by the executive department of the governor, based upon what we're led to believe is true. So I know, and personally against the AG, nothing personal against you. I know you're doing your job. Everyone here, Christopher, Kea, you guys, you know, I owe you plenty. And I don't think you're really paid enough for the heat that you guys get. But we can do something as a body here, and nobody can tell us otherwise under the U.S. Constitution. Yeah. So to tell us, we're limited to what we can do, that is not true. That is not true. We can come to an opinion here under common law that becomes legitimate because we're not causing any harm. We're looking for justice as it appears to be for the general good for everyone. And this is why I've argued for this compliance situation audit years ago. This is why, had this been done 20, 30 years ago, we would have some type of course of action based upon what we agreed to. But as long as Brother Dez points out, as long as we're in disharmony, how are we going to get together? And I say this, you know, this entire, all these people here, got to jump on a canoe with this brother. You're not in time. He's going to get you in time. It's something I learned from him, and it's helped me my entire life. Everybody got to be in time. You're not in time, you're not happening, right? So anyway, but so, hey, brother, this can just kind of maybe okay this whole thing so it doesn't get out of control and just bring everybody feeling it, please.
Yeah, you know, I can't wait to go physical meetings again so we can have lunch, free lunch, because this one free lunch, right, La? But you know, I think we have it on the record for cease and desist. There's a second. I think we call on a vote, even if it's not valid or whatever, it's on the record that at least we took action as far as the federal council is concerned. That we trying our best to help this family, our Ohana. And let's just put it on the record.
Sure.
We got nothing to lose, only to gain. So, you know, regardless of Robert and all his rules, you know, let's be Kanaka on this. You like that, Lock? You know, let's do Kanaka style. Let's just vote on it.
Okay, we'll vote. But La and Jack have wanted to comment, and then we'll call.
Don't let La. No, no.
Two things. Never mind Bob's rules. That's my new lesson today. Second thing, I've never gotten a free lunch. I just need you all to let that sink in. I never got a free lunch. I've skipped a couple lunches. I don't know how I feel about that, but this is always with you guys, so that's awesome. I think what I did want to kind of address that the AG said, I agree with so pretty much everything that's been said and so many of the things that people have brought to light. But I do, you know, and it's not what we want it to be, but I do think we have the power to support these Ohana and these Iwikupuna, it's just not in the way that we want. And in the way that we want, we're going to have to take additional measures to get there. There are teeth that we don't have. I mean, we don't even really have the ability to make determinations on inadvertence. And poor Chris, that sits on his shoulders. He's got to somehow make a decision when people disagree. That absolutely sucks. From my perspective, the kaumaha that he has to deal with in knowing that he's got to make a decision whether or not, you know, everybody's on the same page, he has to somehow come up with something. That's a lot. That being said, do I agree that we as a council shouldn't be involved in those determinations? I don't think so, but how do we get to the point where we are involved with more power, and how do we get our teeth? But with this situation, the AG said that this is county permitting, the county is responsible for specific things. And I understand where she's thinking of the actual current processes, whether they are pono or not. There is a process within the county that addresses whether or not this development can continue. And what I would say that we have the ability to support is helping Uncle Jimmy, if he wants to take this to that space, who is the point of contact, and how can he where can we give him his teeth? And we can support him by guiding him to the exact department that he needs to reach out to right now. That, because as much as I support this discussion, at the end of the day, I think that's where we're all infuriated. It is a discussion. So the AG saying, you know, there's somewhere in the county that has the power right now, without any legal changes, without needing to go through any long processes, there's an entity within the county that has the power to make that decision to stop, to cease and desist. And I would like to support Uncle Jimmy in that and direct him there so that he can address this situation and have some teeth. And on the other tangent, I do think we can also support these Ohana in their, you know, ho'oponopono and their kukakuka in all of these, in this situation, because they should have never been in a position where they have to disagree in the first place. It should have never, this should have never happened, but it did. And how do they, how do we help them move forward together? So those are the things that, you know, we don't have this power that's very, you know, aina'e. But I just kind of wanted to say that if there's a way for us to maybe, and I can look into it too. I can actually, I would like to find out and get Uncle Jimmy in contact with whomever. Cause I know grading and grabbing, we do that all the time over here. There's rules. There's some strict rules on that and what they're supposed to do. So finding a way to support that, because if that's something that we don't want to see happening, you know, we may not be able to tell that, go over there right now and make them stop, but we can go through the process and get there. We can support Uncle Jimmy in doing that if that's what he feels as a descendant. That's it. Can't wait to have lunch with you guys too. You guys have some good lunches. So we have some good lunches, but I haven't had one yet.
Okay, you're getting me hungry, love. Be quiet. Humble. you know, at this point, I suggest that we come to a close. I think enough is being said. There is a motion, a call for a vote. I encourage the families here. You know, I haku. You folks need a kuku on that. I haku. But you folks have the strength. You folks have the power to come together as one. You know, just come together. Just, I mean, everybody doing what they needed to do, regardless if it was not agreed upon, if it was not, the contact wasn't made, you know, and it's all a kapoe haole kai manao, yeah? As a Hawaiian, we always find solution. Yeah, wrong and all that kind of, as kapoe haole kai na manao. Manao, kanaka manao is less honey, yeah? Less kuka. Let's not get into ho'oponopono. It's too strict. It's too much ritual. So let's just ho'opono. And kuka and mauli ola. Yeah, just battle together for it. And then you can come together eventually. Akua gona, he has already graced us. Yeah. He has already graced us with great life. He's trying our best to lead us on. And no, ikalamai to our AG, you know, because you represented the office, so you ikalamai for my tirade, but you know, we all trying to do our best. And I think our best is to do best for each other. Kikahi, kikahi. Love. You know, put down all that kind of stuff on our side. And let's just okay from this. And, you know, I call for the vote.
Let's call for the vote. All those, I know the motion was made a long time ago. And we don't really have the power or jurisdiction, but we can still make our
yeah, let's put it on the record.
Known, calling for the vote to cease and desist at this property on the Royal Ali'i Subdivision, Kaumalumalu Ahupua'a, North Kona District Island of Hawaii, TMK 37-7-004:057,058, to cease and desist until they resolve the inadvertent burials that are already exposed. Those in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? All those abstaining? It passes, this motion. I noticed Scott and White Willa aren't here. I'm not even sure if we have a quorum now, but.
They said for me to prop them, so aye.
Aye, okay. Thank you, everybody, for this showing up. For this meeting, the last on our agenda is announcements for our next meeting, which will be March 17th. Right now it's online unless our Governor Ige determines otherwise and lifts that emergency proclamation. I was going to ask Waiola to just close our day out with a prayer.
I'll let you guys know ahead of time if I know that the meetings are going to continue on Zoom only, or if that proclamation does get extended. So as soon as I find out, I'll let you guys know as well.
Oh, okay. And you know, schedule it for Kona and have lunch from Teshima's, please.
Oh, we only approved to buy from KTA.
I moved to adjourn.
you guys vote on it?
Oh yeah, power rating. We said yes. I don't know how much value. I don't know how much weight that has, but we support you,
Uncle. You guys gotta just forward that to the AG, to the state. We've done this before. This is not the first time. The state,
I hear you.
Now that you voted on it, the state has to act on it. Thank you so much for that vote.
I tell you right now, the state will say it's invalid.
No, they're not. We did this before. She just doesn't
know. All right.
They're gonna accept them, Uncle.
We'll see.
Take action. Thank you. We did them before, plenty of time already. This is. Thank you. Thank you, Kong.
Oh, Des, will you call me out for us, please?
Yes. Just a reminder. This is election year. Epulikako. Take a deep breath. Ano? Ipulik ako. Help us to remember. Help us to heal. And help us to be one with Akua. Amen.
Amen.
Awiho!
Awiho!
Awiho! Come to Kaleo.